You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
going
today's
to
message
drag
is Pastor Ralph.
Down. Only a matter of time. And listen, I dare say some of you are in here because of some of those old relationships. I used this one time before and I'll use it again. This is a jar, and in this jar is oil and water. And it looks like they're the same, right? It looks like it's going to work out okay. It looks like collectively they're going to make it and make it together. But when it settles down, sooner or later, it separates itself to what it truly is. And oil is going to be oil, and water is going to be water, and you can shake it up and mix it up. You can hang around with it all you want. And man, for a minute while you're cutting up and partying, man, it looks like y'all are one. But at the end of the day, they're going to go to their home, and you're going to go to your home, and the chastisement of the Lord is going to be on you. And you'll either be oil or you're going to be water. You're not ever going to be both. And I would suggest that you need to make up your mind as to what you're going to be. Because folk who are in the world and don't know Christ, when they leave here, they're going to hell. And if you're in Christ, then you will be going to heaven. But you need to make up your mind while you're here just who it is that you belong to. Amen?
Amen.
He says in verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were, and that's past tense, sometimes darkness, but now, look what he says, are ye light, or are ye light, he says, in the Lord. And because of that, at the end of verse 8, he says what? Walk as children of light. And when he says walk here, he's talking about how we live. And look, it ought to be obvious to us if we're doing wrong. And usually it is. Usually you don't have to have somebody tell you you're wrong. Most of the time, after the water and oil settles down, you know exactly what you did and whether what you did was right and whether what you did was wrong. He goes on in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And what he's talking about is the showing of Christ in our lives. Not just in chapel in the morning or in the evening, but at all times. Whether anybody sees you or not, God always sees you. And he knows your mindset, and he also knows your frame of mind, even when we're playing with things in our minds. He says, proving, in other words, showing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And listen, everybody here pretty much knows when you do wrong, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask a blanket question. When you do wrong, what do you do? What do you do? Any answer?
Make it right.
How do you make it right?
You pray to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness.
Amen. And somebody over here said repent. And that is it. We simply make sure we get it right with him. And guys, for most of my saved life, I've not always done right. And even still, I don't always do right. Don't always think right. But I've learned years and years ago to keep short accounts with the Lord. If I do wrong, even if I'm driving, I of course I'm not going to close my eyes. But if I'm driving, I see I did wrong. Maybe I just lusted after some women that went across my car. And the second he helps me to realize that what I did was wrong, I say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Because I don't wait until I get home and I figure I'm going to clear out my slate then. By then, man, especially as I get older, I can't remember everything. So I go ahead and clear my slate now. I keep short accounts with it because I need my account clean. And I get it. All of our sins as a Christian are forgiven, past, present, and future. But our fellowship with God can be broken and is broken when we sin against him and all those prayers that you want answered and those blessings that you want from the Lord, if you're in sin and you're not getting it right with Him, you're going to break that fellowship. And that prayer is not going to be answered until you get that right. If you do something against your mother or your father and they're mad at you, you're not getting a gift or cookies until you get right with them, correct? No different with God. He, in fact, it is even more important with God. We need to make sure that we're right with Him. And that's what he's talking about in verse 10, proving. In other words, showing what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And the King James uses this word reprove. Anybody know what that means?
Expose.
Expose. Say what it is. Call it what it is. If it's sin, I don't care if it's you or somebody else. Say what it is. If somebody's around you and look, they're sinning, don't say, oh, it's going to be okay. God knows your heart, and that's the problem. He does know your heart, but if you love them, tell them what it is. Man, you shouldn't be getting high anymore. You should not take that drink. Man, you need to leave that girl alone. Call it what it is. You're fornicating. You're unequally yoked. Whatever it is, let it be shown and let it be seen. And he says that we are, as believers, to reprove them. Guys, I want us to mark our page here and go back with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Back just a few pages. Mark where you are so we can flip right back. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to zero in on verse 11 of chapter 6. Of 2 Corinthians, verse 11. And Paul's talking to this church at Corinth, and he had to write them two letters, man. That's how rough they were. And here he's talking to that church in chapter 6 and verse 11. He says, if you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
He says in verse 11, O ye of Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. And what he's saying is he's giving them a statement of love that we're open for you, God. Just let us in. We want to forgive you. We want to love you. We want the love of Christ to be with you. He says in verse 12, ye are not straitening us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. And what he's saying is that you're blocking yourself up. You're restricting yourself. That you can't flow with God's love like you want because of sin, and you're simply closing up the blessings of God. Again, why you would want to keep short accounts with the Lord in regard to your sin. He says, in fact, what he's saying is that their fleshly desires are holding back what God wants to give them. And I dare say, guys, with everybody in here, God wants to bless you big time. But in a lot of cases, he cannot because of how you are, because you won't get right, because you won't let him open you up, because you won't let his love flow through you, because you still want to do what you want to do, and you think you're going to be okay, and you're cruising along okay. But man, imagine if you simply did things God's way. And let him have his way in all aspects of your life. Imagine the blessings that he would send your way. And the understanding he would send your way. And what he could do with a Christian's life who sold out for the cause of Christ. He says in verse 13, now for a recompense in the same. He says, I speak as unto my children. And look, Paul, in his mind, in his heart, he's birthed them. He's seeing them as his children. He says, be ye also enlarged. In other words, he said in verse 12, my heart, our hearts are enlarged to you. Open your hearts to us. Let us minister to you. And you guys, while you're here, and listen, chaplain and other guys, they talk to you and sometimes counsel you. And sometimes you don't want to say nothing. You don't want to get too deep. Open up. Let them know what's going on so that they can pray rightly for you. Open up your hearts and allow the Lord, not just the Lord, but others that love you in, so they can perhaps give you some spiritual information that before you didn't have. But until you open up, it's hard to help someone. Guys, there's a lot of folk going around. We hear more about that in this time than we ever have. And young folk that are literally just killing themselves. They feel like there's no hope because they're holding on to stuff and holding it inside and figure, well, there's no hope, ain't nothing I can do. But if you're struggling with something like that, man, tell somebody. And don't worry about your reputation, man. I was shot a long time ago. I know mine was. But if you're hurting, tell somebody you're hurting. And at the very least, and it should be the most, talk to the Lord and let him know you got issues. And even that you're afraid to share those issues. But man, you need to put them on the table. It starts with the Lord. And he'll free you up to be able to share with others as well. He says in verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak as my children. Be ye also enlarged. He said, be ye not, look what he says here, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And guys, what is he talking about there? Back in biblical times, and they would be farming and rowing, making a hole in the dirt, and they would have a yoke that would go around the animal's neck. And if they had two, it would be two oxen or two mules or two donkeys or whatever. They wouldn't put a mule and an oxen because they're going to pull at different rates. The mule might want to go over here. The oxen want to go over here. And when they finish making their rows in regard to trying to plant something, that thing would look like that. It would look like S's and Z's. But he's talking about being equally yoked. And by the way, that's not just in marriage. That's in every aspect of our lives. I've counseled a lot of people, man, throughout the years that wanted to get married. And because I knew one was a believer and one was not, I would tell them, listen, I can't marry you because I already know it's not going to work out. And sometimes in particular women would say, well, he's a nice guy. He'll be okay. I'm sure God's going to do well. When God does something, then you come see me because it's not going to work. And I've had some even go by me. They went to the justice of the peace. They're going to get married anyway. And sometimes not even years later, that thing is all broke up. And then they come to me and say, what am I to do? And look, I'm not a I told you so guy, but I tell them what you should have done is not marry them in the first place. Because you've gotten yourself all hooked up in something that God never ordained you to do. And I see it all the time. And folk figure we can make it work. And they'll say, well, he's nice. Or he'll say, she's nice. And look, you could be at least appear to be nice. But if you know Christ and they don't, you're being unequally yoked. And like the donkey and the oxen, you're pulling in different directions. When you're dating, and this was true with me as well, man, I put on my best manners. I was opening the door for my girlfriend. Man, I was yes and please. And listen, after you've been with him for a while, or even after you're married, man, you get out of the car and the wife's waiting there for you to open the door. And you look back and say, what are you waiting for? Because now it ain't like that. Because we put on our best manners during that time. And look, yes, in marriage, but also in friendship. It can't be one that knows the Lord and one that does not. Because you're pulling in different directions. And ultimately, it's not going to work. Years ago, I started a business. I used to make false teeth. I had a dental lab. And I had a guy come along who had some savvy, sound good. Told me he knew the Lord in my heart of hearts. I knew he did not. And I got in business with this dude. 3 years later, man, I was whipped, tired, and wondered why I got involved in this thing in the first place. And ultimately, the Lord got my attention then and told me to simply give the business to him and leave. And I did. And I took a little job. I think it was making $12 an hour. I left my equipment, left everything with him, and ultimately that the Lord took that $12 an hour job and actually gave me another career. But I learned a lesson, and if somebody is not right in the Lord, I'm not getting in business with them, and you don't need to marry them, and you don't need unbelievers with mixed with you being a believer. Has anybody ever had the experience? I already know somebody has. That you hooked up or got involved with somebody and you were doing okay. He's already raising his hand. And you thought you were doing okay and they weren't right. And it was only a matter of time before they drug you right back down. In fact, many times you get worse than you were before. All because, with your eyes wide open, you did what God said, do not do. He said, be ye not, verse 14, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord, and he's talking about being on one accord, had with Christ and Belial? And Belial, simply put, is another name for Satan. And all of these are no. He says, on what part have he that believeth with an infidel? And an infidel is an unbeliever. And the answer to all of them is none. But yet still God says this through Paul. And many of us will still go out and think we're gonna be the one that make it work. And he said it can't work. But we many times, somebody in here going to try it. And they're going to say, you know what? God's word is true. You don't have to experience to know that. Simply take God for his word. He says in verse 16, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Know that, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's saying that. He means that. And you need to understand that you can't go back to the old. And I dare say what God has for you is so much better than what you think you had back then. Which is why many times when folk go back in the world, be it alcohol, drugs, or whatever, they usually tend to get worse or do worse than they were doing before. Because if you're in Christ, you're kind of covering that up. You don't want to hear the word of the Lord. You don't want nothing coming to your mind. So you try to get to a place where you don't know nothing. And God says, no, don't even start it. And he tells us to come out from among us, among them. In verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and look, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Why do you suppose he wants you to be separate in regard to unbelievers? Why? Why? They're going to drag you down. And listen, it's not going to be every, maybe, it's going to be a sure thing. It's going to happen. And by the way, even folk in your natural family, just because you were born with them and have the same blood, if they don't know Christ, doesn't mean they don't mean you good. Hey, listen, I'm not telling you not to go to your family reunions. You can do what you choose with that. But understand that if they don't know Christ, they might be part of your natural family, but they're not part of your spiritual family. And years ago, I had to stop going to my family reunions because I always ended up doing something that I should not do on the word or the advice of a natural family member. He says in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not that unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, look, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And what he's saying is that just for God's sake, don't fool with that no more, man. Because it'll grab you, and it'll grab you harder than it grabbed you the first time. And listen, just like this judge, and look, you can be around them, and you think everything is going to be okay, and it looks like, oh, man, it's kumbaya, and we having a good time. But ultimately, it's going to be oil and it's going to be water. It's going to be a believer and it's going to be an unbeliever. And I don't care who they are. When the end of life comes, if they don't know Christ, you will never see them again. And it's not worth it. Amen.
Amen.
Please go back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were, past tense, sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And guys, there are some sins that you hear about, read about, but you don't even want to repeat it. It's so sinful that it cuts you right to the heart. Man, when you see something about somebody abusing children or something like that, man, I don't even want to talk about that. Because it cuts me in a place. I'm like, how could somebody do that? But folk do it because sin is never satisfied and will have us doing some things that we never thought that we would do. Many times in my sinful life, I woke up in the morning and stuff starts coming back to me, what I did the night before. And look, it wasn't the alcohol that made me do it. The alcohol loosened up my inhibition so I could do what I really wanted to do. And I sit there and I say, I don't believe I did that. But I did it. And you did it. And hallelujah, now I got to get right. And it's the only way to get right is to get right with the Lord. He says in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest. And again, he's talking about shown for what they really are by the light. For whatsoever doth manifest is light. Years ago, me and my wife went to a hotel. I might have shared this. If I did, forgive me. And we went in Washington, D.C., and it was night. Went to a hotel, and place looked good, looked clean. So we got a room. They gave us the room key. We go up to the room, and I said, man, this place is nice. I didn't even know it was here. And we just passing through, put the key in, opened the door, turned on the light, and all these little roaches started trying to find a place to hide. And though this place looked clean, it wasn't clean. And so we got another room, and it wasn't as many roaches. So we got another room, and this one we didn't see any roaches. But I believe we were only there for one night. We slept sitting up that night. And listen, them roaches was trying to find a place to hide. And sin tries to find a place to hide. It really doesn't want to be seen. But when you call it what it is, it's upfront and personal. And surely can't hide. Guys, there's no coincidence that many things that we hear from our politicians in regard to things that are sinful, that they'll give them a name that doesn't sound so sinful, so that it helps folk to accept it a little easier. But if we call it what it is, God is pleased, folk will see it and know what it is. And all, especially those who are in Christ, will be in a good place. He says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, and this is God saying it, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And guys, if you're walking around, you're slumbering, you're struggling, and you just don't think that you're going to make it, and you keep stumbling here and stumbling there, Paul's fix for that is that you get closer, not farther away, from God, that you get more in depth in His Word, that you begin to believe Him, that what He says is true. And the closer you get to Him, He says, as you draw to Me, I'll draw closer to you. And He'll give you some understanding that will literally blow your mind and will give you the strength to say no to the things that trouble you, even in your mind. But it starts with a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And some will say, well, how could that be? Try it. As Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's going to work it out. But you got to give Him an opportunity and a chance, and you got to avail yourself to Him. And if you're trying to do this thing in your own steam, it's never, ever going to work out well. He says in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, walk being aware of. Like me and my wife in that room, we were aware that there were bugs in that room. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Somebody, real quick, just anybody, turn to Psalm 14. We got one doing it. Nobody else has to do it. Psalm 14. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 14. And just read out loud verse 1, whoever gets it first.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And listen, Paul just said here, he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And look, we're supposed to be wise enough to know that there is a God. And if we keep putting our heads in the sand and acting like there's no God, then what the psalmist is saying is that we're acting like fools, as opposed to children of the Most High God. The fool has said, there is no God. And though you might not say those words, your actions are saying what he said in his word, I don't believe, because I'm showing that I don't believe it. And you're acting like fools. Amen. Guys, I'll close out there. But please, got prayer requests. Make sure you put your name on this prayer list, or any other concerns that I can help you with. Put your name down and your request, and we will act accordingly. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study, this time in which we can look through your book of truth and allow you by your Spirit to help us to glean some truths that will be applicable even to our lives. Father, for each and every man here, Lord, they're all needing a touch from you today as they go about their day. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch them and bless them and minister to them. And Father God, give them what they need on this day. Help us, Father God, at all times to do the right thing. And we know that the right thing is the godly thing. And Father God, you're in control of that as well. If need be, Father God, if we're wrong, if anyone here is living wrong, bless their hearts to know that the way they're going is not right and that you're not pleased with that as well. We're praying for the families of each and every man here. Touch and bless as you see fit, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. Mm-hmm.